Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change, and it's always a pleasure for me to kind of go out there and pull in individuals whose careers and circles of life go in really interesting measures, as most our listeners know, and a pleasure thus to connect with Carol Saunders in the great state of Illinois. How are you today, Carol?
I'm wonderful. It's exciting to be here.
You betcha. Well, let me explain to our audience why I gave her that setup. Carol is actually the founding minister of the new Abundant Life Unity Church in Deerfield, Illinois. She's a graduate of Purdue University in chemical engineering and spent 20 years in the energy business as an engineer, operations, and human resources leader before simultaneously weaving in her faith and, she would say, heart journey towards deeper personal development and then seminary studies. Following being director of ministry for a Unity Church in Evanston, Illinois for a year, in 2010, she took literally and figuratively the leap of faith to the great what's next. In other words, the business of consciousness in starting a new church. Also a wife, mother of three, and longtime active advocate for humanitarian to animal to environmental causes, Carol is now truly advancing as an entrepreneur, although with an organic, grassroots-backed, high-impact mission to help others lead a more abundant life. Well, Carol, I have to ask, what was it like when you broached that whole topic of starting a church with those who are so close to you and known you so long?
Very interesting. Those in my family were very supportive because they just knew that that was what the next step for me was. But it's interesting. I've noticed that whenever I was facing people and saying, I'm starting this church, I would see in their face this look of just kind of like they're aghast, like, you're doing what?
Exactly.
Like, I've never known anybody did anything like that. I never thought any of it, much of it myself, until I saw reflected in people's faces. It was like they're just completely in shock. So I was like, wow, this must be a big thing that we're doing.
But, you know, for many of us that start entrepreneurial ventures, whether that be in the nonprofit, to-profit field, there's this inner calling that's just welling up, and I guess I'd like to perhaps start in that path. You know, you really spent a fairly traditional career, if everyone can call it that these days, inside a large multinational corporation. Did you ever think or did you know there was something else brewing inside of you to guide you in this way?
I would say yes and no. I always knew there was something deep in me guiding me to something higher, to something beyond. Mm-hmm. I was always deeply spiritual on that path. The idea of becoming a minister was never on my horizon. It was never something that I'd really thought someday I might do that. So actually putting that amount of form on it, I had never really done. But it became very clear to me as I just kind of walked step by step down the path. Mm-hmm. that was what was mine to do. It was not clear to me for like 20 years or like 10 years while I was doing my seminary studies. It was really when I did the interim minister job at Unity Church on the North Shore in Evanston where I felt completely called, like, wow, this is it. Like, this is really what I want to do. And then, looking back, everything made sense.
Well, and I would even suggest that all those earlier learning experience in leadership venues, you know, in the tough environments of chemical and manufacturing plants, had probably in many, many ways prepared you for what you're doing now. I mean, a different face on it, but still the fundamentals being there. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really very interesting. I'm not sure how many engineer-turned-ministers there are, but I bring a completely unique set of skills to the job. I have a clear business approach. I know very clearly how to create a vision and present, and very, very fiscal responsibilities. Mm-hmm. What I learned a lot at Exxon was about how to use that dollar wisely and stretch it far. So all of those really go into it, and also the people skills and the ability to lead and motivate and see what it is that people are really yearning for. All of that came from my background as well.
Isn't that? That's a nice match. Well, let's shift then to the whole conversation around a Unity Church, because that might be an affiliation not many of our listeners are familiar with, and thus the underlying or underpinnings of your ministry within.
Correct. Right. So would you like me to speak to that?
Yeah. What is a Unity Church?
Very good question. You know, Unity has been around for about 120 years, but it isn't one of those that's really out there on the forefront. And yet, I think that what we teach and what we how we understand God and theology and all that is very, very contemporary and would really, really appeal to people. Basically, our tenets would look something like this. You know, we believe there's one power and one presence. There's no other enduring power, and we are part of that power, and that power is God, and that power is good. And it is abundant and always willing to give and overflowing and show us the next step. We believe we're created in the image and likeness of God or the divine, whatever you want to use as a term. And as such, we're creative beings. We believe that fundamentally we have God within us, that we are really not separated from God, and therefore we have all of those attributes of God, divine love and wisdom and joy and peace and harmony and beauty and all within us, and that we're really here to express that fully. So the part of our job is not just to be concerned about like an afterlife so much, but about living here, being our most authentic and best selves, being creative beings, and bringing more and more of God's expression into the world. So we believe that we have creative abilities, and that we really form our experience of our world from our thoughts. So we really create our own experience, not like we're creating everything that's happening, but whatever's happening out there, we can choose what we want to think about it. So we're very much about personal responsibility and being at the helm of your own ship and being able to create your life, drawing on the abundance of the universe and the abundance of God, and just bringing more good and beauty and creativity and joy and wisdom into the world.
Well, in fact, those themes resonate very strongly with this show, with Circles of Change. From the standpoint, we talk a lot about a personal accountability, meaning this ability to count on ourselves as well as count on others for desired outcomes. So I think it's a beautiful connection. So in truth, the type of individuals that you have found so far that have been drawn to your practice, I suspect, are from a variety of different, quote, traditional religious backgrounds, right? But they espouse
yes, they
it
are.
In their life in this common thread way.
Yes, they are. It's interesting. We have a lot of people who have been in traditional religions who have grown either apart, or they're calling for something different, or they want something more spiritual and less religious, or what, for a variety of reasons. They want to be associated with a spiritual community, and they come to Unity, and when they walk in the doors, they feel like this is their home, this is love, they're very accepted here. They don't have to let go of all of their religious traditions in the past. They don't have to let go of Jesus or the tenets that they've learned, but they can walk into our space and just be completely enveloped in this love and also see a whole new dimension of who they can be and how much bigger they can be from perhaps what they've learned before.
So what I gather then of why someone would choose to come to a Unity Church then is they can really bring their whole person into that presence or that community you're building.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though we have our own beliefs and our own understanding, and that's what we teach, we have a certain belief and understanding about God and reality and all that, but we really have we put no requirements on people. We don't say you have to say these things, you have to do these things, you have to go through these methodologies in order to be one of us. People are free to believe what they want. They're usually attracted to our beliefs and our teachings, but we really don't put that on people.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So the steps or that process of being an entrepreneur in this faith-based space, Carol, the idea of a startup that I suppose you have some sort of loose framework from the greater Unity guiding principles out there, but this really, if I recall you're explaining to me, is allowed to be and expected to be more grassroots and reflective of the community of where you are. Did I get that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't have any organization out there that's sending us money or sending us resources, sending us people or anything. It's really basically an inside job. It's really, I mean, honestly, because we believe the divine is within, so God is within me. So it is really God moving through me and just really attracting a kind of a vortex of people around me who just really are called to the same thing. And so it was really a handful of people that decided to move forward and open the doors on Abundant Life Unity Church on September 26th. And it was a leap of faith, but it was like a 2 + 2 = 4 kind of faith, not like a faith like, oh, I hope this happens, and if this is the right thing, you know, God's going to provide. It's like we knew 2 + 2 = 4 every time you do that equation, right?
Right.
So we just knew, I just knew that this church was going to come into manifestation. It's just going to be amazing and grow organically and just be a wonderful, wonderful center. And it's just fun to continue to watch it play out.
So give me an example of what you mean by growing it organically. I mean, the real block and tackle of building the church. I mean, not the figurative answer of building it with bricks and mortar, because I know right now you're in a temporary
rental
facility,
space,
right?
Yeah.
But what are those things that have happened organically that make you take pause and realize you're living out the very precepts you believe?
Okay, that's really interesting, because we're not starting with such a structure. So it's almost like how would the cells in your body self-organize? They come forth and they have a role to play, and they know what it is, and when they're called to do that, they come forward. So when you start a church, it's not like I've got everything in place. I don't have all these committees in place, these teams. I had a handful of people who helped me with ushering and greeting and those kinds of things. But in terms of what the church needs, it's going to come out of the body of who's there. So as people show up, at first they start attending, and they like what they see. We have a very contemporary, upbeat, very energetic service. It's very authentic, fun music and all.
In fact, even includes video clips from Indiana Jones movies, I understand.
Absolutely. I've used movie clips from all sorts of movies. Talladega Nights was my favorite. That was a great illustration on prayer. So people come first for the Sunday service to kind of get something, feel something.
That tradition.
And then after a while, they become really like, wow, this is my place. This is my space. So then they start to be in community with each other and get to know each other, and we create forums for that. And then it becomes something that they own, and then they decide how they want to step up. I'm interested in doing this. I'm interested in doing that. As a leader, I try to provide that void. So just want you to know, this is what we need, this is what we need, this is what we need. But I can't force that to happen with people. They have to know that that's how they're being called to serve. And so how they come forward and want to serve may not be exactly what I have in mind now, but it may be what, like, Spirit is leading us to do. And so, yes, we'll go in that direction.
I am really hoping those of you that are listening to our conversation here today, particularly that are leaders of organizations, those that are for-profit, I wonder what our life would look like if we could embrace some of the methodologies that Carol here is speaking about in the founding of a church in terms of, I'll use that word, real employee engagement to make change happen within our own enterprises. Carol, did it ever dawn on you that perhaps you used some of these same techniques maybe other places in your career before you came to where you are now?
I would say I probably used some of these techniques, but in a more underground fashion at Exxon.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say underground. They didn't know you what you were doing to them, so to speak.
Well, every once in a while it would pop out. I was like, oh my gosh, how'd they do that? You know, but I was also very, very interested when I was at Exxon. I partnered with a good friend of mine who is in, like, organizational development. Mm-hmm. We really had a vision for completely transforming the way Exxon did, at least at the Baytown Refinery, how we did our business and how we worked with people. So we had a big vision, but it was dealing more less with how do we make gasoline from crude oil, and more into how can we engage the population that's there, and how can we become another organization, kind of like I'm expressing in this church.
Absolutely,
people,
you are.
Yeah, where people are really a part of it and really, really manifesting what they know. Because the people who are close to, who are out there banging on the pipes and changing and turning valves and all, they were the ones who knew what was needed more than us sitting up in the ivory tower. So
it's the same doctrine. And so even in these months that you've been in your role of guiding the formation of this church, have you found instances indeed where you've kind of had to sit back in your chair and say, whoa, I thought we would go this way, but they did an Alaman left, and that feels better. I mean, are you finding those elements of, quote, being a leader, but still being more of saying this is not about controlling, but letting it flow?
Yeah, I would say yes. We're still very young. We're just 6 months old. So there are things that I'd like to move forward on, but either the people that we have don't have that skill set, mm-hmm. or we're just going to wait to manifest that, but something else is happening. I have a plan to roll out a whole leadership program. I'm going to roll this out at our Palm Sunday lunch, because I have this vision of the church actually being a place where we train leaders.
You betcha. Absolutely.
And they take what they learn, which is not just going to be theologically based and prayer based, but also self-discovery and how to communicate, how to have nonviolent communication, these kinds of things. And so we groom people to become leaders within the church and to lead groups and to lead maybe initiatives within the church. And that would spill over into their life. So that they could take their leadership skills from church and how we work there into their own organizations.
And their own families and their other community endeavors.
Absolutely.
So you think about the opportunity to scale what you're doing to really create the future of the world, as one of our recent guests talked about. This is not just about the dominoes within your own reach that you're tripping, but the other ones that are going to fall at the same time.
Absolutely. Before we even started this church, 2 weeks before I started, I went to a workshop on church growth, which I thought was kind of funny because I didn't have a church yet to grow, but I went nonetheless. And I learned there, I thought this was really interesting. I'm really not sure this is true, but I thought this was interesting. It was put forth for us that our organizations, our companies, a long time ago in the Industrial Revolution, that those organizational structures, those hierarchies, actually were modeled from the church hierarchy.
Absolutely, yes.
And so the church created the hierarchy and the management structure, and that our organizations have adopted those. So why not, within church, if we're going to follow that pattern, create new ways of organizing and have that kind of go out into the business world. So,
as well. But you said something earlier, and that was you said, I really don't have the committees, and the structure to work within, but I suspect both you and I, off to the side, having grown up, survived, and quite frankly enjoy being in these larger bureaucracies, on one hand you're saying, and thank goodness I don't have some of that stuff, because
yes,
it can really
yes.
trip you up and weigh you down and make you think that you're doing stuff, but you're really not.
Absolutely, absolutely. I also have this this desire to create an organization where the organization itself has a life, so it's not really about the hierarchy, it's not
yes.
about me even. That's really important. I want to create this church, or allow it to continue to organically unfold in a way that it's not all centered around me as minister.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very tricky, because people come to church sometimes and they want that minister to meet all of their needs, or to be the one for this or the one for that. But in the future of the church is really that we have lots of leaders, and that the minister is like the CEO and kind of moving the church theologically in a certain direction, energetically in a certain direction, having the vision and all, but that's not the one person that you have to depend upon for all things.
Indeed. For those of you who may just tuned in, we're speaking with Carol Saunders, who just started up last year the Abundant Life Unity Church in Deerfield, Illinois, a lot of it based off her corporate experiences in having grown from being a chemical engineer on into the management ranks. Carol, I wanted to go a little bit deeper with that, because your comment that the ministers, that they are the end-all, say-all, do-all in many of our parishes, but priests in the certain denominations, rabbis and others. This idea of letting go and knowing that a good part of your role then is truly to lead from behind, in some organizations, that's a pretty radical thought.
I would agree, and I would actually say that my job is, the way I look at my job is, my job is really largely to develop and to identify and develop leaders. So it's
exactly.
not just leading from behind,
you bet.
But
yeah.
that we have really strong leaders in place, and a whole plan for my succession.
Exactly, the constant succession, because that succession is also for a variety of things that you personally may not be skilled in doing or even have a passion around, but because of the organic nature of this community that you're helping foster, those things are going to start to pop up and show up, right? And
absolutely.
Because of, quote, the voice of the customer, they're going to pull it right within your realm there.
That's right. I completely agree. I see that too.
Yes. Well, this being the month of April, of course, and on the horizon, the celebration of Easter, do you have special things and programs coming up here shortly?
Working on it. I do have the Palm Sunday. We're having a big potluck luncheon. We're putting a big PR plug out for that, where everyone's going to bring friends and family for that as we celebrate Palm Sunday. And that's where I'm going to have a short program to kind of roll out the vision for the church, and we call that Sowing Seeds of Abundance is the theme of that program. I'm doing this because I've talked very many times in front of the congregation about growth and vision, and I just absolutely know that we're going to be an amazing, fantastic, large church that's really, really, really affecting a very, very large circumference of, mm-hmm. of this area. But I haven't really put any real form into those words. So I plan to do that at the potluck luncheon on Palm Sunday. And Easter follows right after that. We're going to have a meditative session for Good Friday, for Friday afternoon, that's going to be available for people. And then Easter, still working on those plans. We're going to have some amazing music, and it's going to be a big celebration. And we really look at Easter as not just the resurrection of Jesus, which I shouldn't say not just, that's just an amazing thing. It's the triumph of life through death.
Yes.
It's also the resurrection of our own selves, of our own overcoming, our own darkness, and becoming more and more expressions of our own divine nature. So it's a big celebration for us.
That's wonderful. Now, I also know you take great delight in doing a newsletter, which I had the pleasure of getting hooked onto at the very beginning. So not only using film clips within your service, but also jumping on all the contemporary social media. Are you finding that that engine is bringing you the type of individuals and feedback and access in this new age that we have of the technology?
It's clearly clear our intention. We are media, media, media. I use PowerPoint when I present my sermons. We have all of the words for songs up on the screens. We don't have paper bulletins. We're going out there with the e-newsletter. And we have actually our own little online community within our website. So it's kind of like having our own little Facebook within our website. It's a virtual community. So you can join the community and be in community with your fellow spiritual travelers in the church. Since we're kind of a remote church, we don't have our own building, and so it's not like we're always constantly being able to be together, but we can remotely. And so we have this whole community thing going on our website, which is great fun, and we have different groups on our website, and everything's posted virtually like that. And yes, our intention is to really be cutting edge. I want to be right out on their forefront, and I'm one of those people who likes to go look at best practices everywhere. So before I started this church, I really spent 2 years visiting all sorts of different churches and looking at best practices.
So lest any of our and listeners not yet get why it was I thought this segment would make so much sense with what we talk about here, about how creating your path by walking on it and moving careers across sectors, but yet at the same time, Carol, very clearly leveraging the learnings you've enjoyed for these 25-plus years. Well, Carol Saunders from Abundant Life Unity Church in Deerfield, Illinois, thank you so much for joining us. Interested listeners, go to www.abundantlifeunity.org, and we'll keep track of your fabulous progress. Congratulations, Carol.
Thank you, Zara.
All right, we'll be in touch soon. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.